so warm in here.
May it please the court. My name is Diana Vogt, and I am here today representing the plaintiff, Mr. Jonas. Because his injuries are of somewhat sensitive nature, I'm going to be referring to him as the plaintiff rather than by using his name.
Thank you.
We're here today because the judge erred when he refused to allow the jury to be instructed on the issue of damages arising from ascended testicles rather than if the testicles were not undescended at birth. He also made a mistake by answering questions that were sent to him by the jury. These questions, one of them he answered based on just an ordinary dictionary definition of the word undescended rather than the expert testimony that had been offered. Also, he compounded the issue of not allowing them to discuss ascended testicles because the evidence was very clear that whether the testicles were undescended at birth or whether they later magically ascended was the discussion. That as long as they were in the body for too long, the heat would cause damage. That was agreed upon by everyone. And that that they would be damaged by heat, and that should have been able to go to the jury. The judge improperly relied on Doe versus Zedek for the proposition that there was no causation testimony. But that was a different kind of case. That was a case where there were not measurable injuries. That was a case where the injuries themselves were subject to speculation. It was purely mental or emotional damages. In this case, and the way the judge phrased it was when he refused to give a jury instruction that damages could have arisen from ascended testicles, was he said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to direct a verdict on this, in essence. I'm going to say that because your plaintiff, or because your complaint, just said descended testicles, that's the only thing I'm going to let go to the jury.
Complaint said undescended.
I'm sorry, undescended. That's the only thing I'm going to let go to the jury.
But it wasn't just his complaint. It was the complaint, it was the pretrial memorandum, it was the proposed jury instructions, it was the opening statements.
Yes, Your Honor, but in Nebraska, our court rule very specifically allows complaints to be amended by what is shown by the evidence. And in this case, it was shown by the evidence and, in fact, discussed. One of the experts even said that descended testicles could be bilateral or unilateral. So they talked both about ascended and descended, and there was enough evidence that these testicles could have still caused damage after being ascended that it should have been tried on that basis. There are two very recent cases, Zelenka versus Pratt, 300 Nebraska 100, and PAN, P-A-N, versus IOC Realty Specialists, Inc., in which the court found that even though they were tried identifying one theory, the actual evidence and arguments at trial were for a different theory.
But it seems to me, at least in reading through the bill, that the evidence of the ascended testicles was the defense. That was the defense to your position that these were undescended.
It was a defense, except no one could pinpoint when this supposedly happened. And it was admitted in the record by experts that if the testicles had reascended and stayed there long enough, they could be damaged.
Whose testimony is that?
The one who testified, Dr. D'Souza testified, let me back up. Dr. D'Souza testified that one of them physically could not ever have descended. So
that's a different thing than causation.
Right. The causation, I believe, it was Dr. Ferentz that testified to if they were in the body long enough, there would be heat. Dr. Willman acknowledged that.
That was all in the context, though, of undescended testicles. So, in my mind, does it matter if they were once descended and had the ability to properly form and all of that, and then ascent? are those still damaged? I don't see testimony in the record to answer that question.
Oh, Your Honor, they're absolutely. And the most believable witness was Dr. D'Souza. And Dr. D'Souza was the one who performed the surgery. And he testified that based on what he saw and the fact that the gubernaculum, which is a piece of tissue that brings the testicle down into the scrotum, was embedded in the abdominal wall, that one of those testicles could not have physically descended.
Okay, but I'm talking about causation. I'm looking for the expert testimony who says, or the expert who says, even if they've been descended and then they reascend, we still run these same risks. I see the heat information, but that's in the context of being asked about undescended testicles, which takes me back to, if they're undescended, does that mean they don't have the ability to ever form correctly?
The testimony was consistent that if they are in the body long enough, they will be damaged by heat, except for Dr. Weiner. Dr. Weiner sort of disagreed with everything. But even the trial judge admitted that they had proved evidence of fertility. And this takes us to Snyder versus contemporary obstetrics. And in that case, the court found that because the treatment that was allegedly lacking was what would have prevented what actually happened, that the fact that there was no immediate trigger, that you couldn't say, okay, there would have been this much more chance or that much more chance, but because the damages were the kind that would be expected if what the plaintiff alleged happened did happen, that was enough of a causal connection to go to the jury. It was a fact question for the jury, and the judge made a mistake by not instructing them on it and by answering those questions that took away their ability to consider the testimony of Dr. D'Souza. It is always up to the jury to sort through the facts, both the expert testimony and the lay testimony, and decide who they believe.
Ms. Vogt, can you tell me why this only became an issue at trial? I'm assuming there was complete discovery, there were depositions of the various experts, and so there was this tension between whether this was undescended or descended and then ascended. And so why is this just become an issue or just become a new theory at the time of trial?
That I cannot tell you. I am not familiar with anything outside of the trial record, so I can't speak to what happened before they actually reached trial. I believe there was some discussion about that the opinions had not been fully disclosed, and there was some surprise in the issue being addressed because the plaintiff's attorneys or plaintiff's experts, some of them,
Did the plaintiff's experts at all testify at all about the possibility of the testicles being ascended?
One of plaintiff's witnesses said that it was possible, that Dr. D'Souza, who had testified, said that it was possible that one of the testicles at one point could have descended and then reascended, but at the time he operated, they were both ascended.
Okay.
And as he said, one of them could never have descended.
But their bottom line opinion was that these were just undescended testicles.
Yes.
Okay.
And in this case, there was also testimony that undescended does not have to mean at birth, that it can happen later, and as long as they are held within the body and are undescended, then they are undescended.
Well, undescended means it's never dropped.
No, Your Honor, it does not.
So you're saying undescended means that it's dropped and then gone back up?
Undescended means as long as it is contained in the abdomen or the inguinal canal and has not descended either permanently, although in this case, not descended permanently into the scrotum. Because they were then subject to the exact same forces that it would have been if they had never descended.
And although comments of counsel are not evidence, in opening statements, it was very clear, this diagnosis, undescended testicles, means from birth, they have never been in the scrotum.
And that was borne out by Dr. D'Souza's testimony, and he was the surgeon, he was the one who actually looked at them. So that was absolutely borne out. So if for no other reason than the judge's direction to the jury that they could only consider both of them together, this should be reversed and remanded for a new trial. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, Your Honor. My name is Bill Settles. I represent the appellees. The assignments of error here can really be grouped into two categories. The first dealing with whether or not the issue of ascended testicles should have been submitted to the jury. The other dealing with the answering the jury's questions. But really the crux of it and what it kind of boils down to is what was the status of the expert testimony with respect to ascended testicles. I disagree with the representation that everyone agreed that the cause of injury to testicles that are retained in the abdomen is the heat. Our experts did not agree with that. They were asked, what is it that causes this increased risk of cancer and increased risk of infertility in undescended testicles? And their testimony was, we believe, most believe, that there's something abnormal about the testicle that caused it not to descend in the first place. And that same thing, that same abnormality that caused it not to descend, is what causes the increased risk of cancer. What has to be kept in mind is that these are different conditions. Undescended testicles are testicles that never descended. There is another condition where the testicles descend and they're kind of tethered, and as the child continues to grow, the tether stops, and so they are drawn back up into the abdomen. Those are testicles that have had an opportunity to develop, to have time outside the body. There was no expert testimony at all that testicles at that stage of development have any kind of sensitivity to heat, are damaged by heat inside the from being retained inside the body. In fact, the testimony of our experts, the testimony of their experts was that they don't believe that that condition exists. They were asked about ascended testicles and testified that I don't think that's a real thing. So all of their testimony was in the context of undescended testicles.
So, Dr. Danoff, right? Dr. Danoff did testify that if a testicle is exposed to body heat for a long enough period of time, it will be severely damaged.
In the context of undescended testicles. What the evidence with respect to ascended testicles was that there isn't an increased risk of cancer, there isn't an increased risk of infertility with ascended testicles. Dr. Villanueva, in Exhibit 115 on page 6, he writes a letter to Dr. Willman in which he says, we know that the risk of testicular cancer for undescended testicles is 0.3%, but we do not know anything about the risk of testicular cancer for ascending or retractile testicles. There's kind of three types. I mean, there's the undescended, the normal descended, and then there's something called retractile testicles that's not really relevant.
The plaintiff's experts were never asked, correct, whether an ascending testicle leads to these types of damages, correct?
That's right. They were never asked.
But the defense experts were, and they said no, that
right.
It's something inherent in the testicle itself.
That's right. That's right. So in the absence of any kind of expert testimony that would establish this causal link, I mean, what they're asking the jury to do is to extrapolate from a principle that applies to one condition and apply it to a different condition that has a different cause. And that's an extrapolation or an analytic leap that can only be made by an expert. A layperson doesn't have any knowledge of the embryology of these organs, how they're affected by various exposures at different stages of development. They're not familiar with the state of the literature and the state of the studies that have been done, which Dr. Villanueva and Dr. Bukowski and Dr. Weiner all testified was that either we don't know if there's an increased risk with ascended testicles, or we know that there isn't, that the risk is the same.
Is it, since there was evidence that there was one undescended testicle, isn't it problematic that the response to the jury's question, does the plaintiff's claim of undescended testicles mean both testicles, for example, bilateral? And the answer given by the judge was yes. Couldn't that be confusing to the jury then, that they couldn't make a determination as to one?
Well, there was no evidence that this patient had a single undescended testicle. There was a question that was asked of the testicles based upon his findings at the time of surgery. Is it possible? And the answer that they were looking for, these were questions by the plaintiff's counsel, what was for Dr. D'Souza to say, no, it's impossible for either one of them to have ever descended. What Dr. D'Souza said is, well, it was impossible for this one to have descended. This one may or may not at some point have been descended, but at the time I saw it, it was in the inguinal canal and it had been there for some period of time based on the atrophy that he saw. That's not evidence sufficient for a jury to conclude that there was ever a single undescended testicle. All of the physical examinations that were done document that the testicles were descended bilaterally. The theory from the very beginning of their experts, all of the testimony of their experts, was that these were undescended bilaterally. There was never any affirmative evidence that more likely than not, this patient in this case, at some point, had a single undescended testicle. There was only that one answer by Dr. D'Souza that was framed as, at some point, it may or may not have descended.
Was there testimony, expert testimony, on the effects of one?
No, none.
So all the testimony on causation or lack of causation mm-hmm. dealt with two?
Yes.
Is that correct?
That's right, yes. And there's no basis for the jury to reach any conclusion based on if there was just one. You know, people can function with one kidney. Does that mean that one testicle is sufficient to support fertility? We don't know. You'd have to have an expert answer that question, and no expert ever did. So there was no evidence of causation with respect to a single undescended testicle. But in addition to that, there was no evidence that this patient more likely than not ever had one. So any conclusion that the jury would reach on that issue would be purely speculative. And what the judge was trying to do, what Judge Colburn was trying to do in all of this, was to limit what the jury considered to the issues that were supported by the expert testimony. He was trying to protect that jury process and the trial process and keep them from being misled by an extrapolation from one set of data to another that's not scientifically valid. And from basing their verdict on speculative evidence, which is his role and his job. And it was appropriate for him to not submit the issue of ascended testicles to the jury in the absence of expert testimony to support it. And it was appropriate for him to answer those questions as he did when it became apparent that the jury may have been considering issues that were not adequately supported by the evidence. So we'd ask you to affirm the actions of the trial court. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I believe Ms. Vogt's out of time. Right. All right. Thank you very much. The matter is submitted. And Judge Arterburn is excusing himself, and he will be replaced by Judge Welch.